This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, it is a great day. I am back. I have so missed you. I will explain everything in a moment. I'm sorry I left you. It's Medal of Honor Monday. We're going to have a blast on Medal of Honor Monday an hour from now, honoring a hero. I will dig into your emails, which I have missed, voicemails tonight. Obviously, we're going to talk a ton tonight about, it'll be kind of centered around Trump's trip to McDonald's, but not in the same way you've heard all day long. So we'll talk about that more from the left and how they're detaching themselves, why they're detaching themselves. How did that happen? We'll discuss that tonight. We'll discuss the friend-enemy distinction. Have you ever heard that phrase, the friend-enemy distinction? Don't worry, if you're confused, we will get to that. It's about how the communists think about things. FEMA screwing everything up. We might even bring up the Girl Scouts. We'll mock Tim Walz. We will laugh. We might cry. We will try to get through the night. In fact, we're going to have a blast getting through tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I owe you an explanation. I know you like to give me crap, which is not nice. No, I love it. I know you like to give me crap about being gone whenever I'm gone. Whenever the suits call me away, whenever I take a vacation, I know you like to give me crap about it. And I understand what that is like. Remember, I, for the longest time, especially when I was working construction out of town, I'm a talk radio consumer, a fan. And I had my guys, too. I love this show. This is my favorite show. This show helps my drive, helps me get through the day. And I know what it's like when you sign on and that guy's gone. And it's a substitute host. And thank you to James T. Harris, who did a wonderful job, I should note. But I know it sucks. I know it sucks. And I want you to know that I do feel a responsibility. I feel an obligation to you to make your day better. Because it's not what I do is not important, but that I do love. I love making your day better. And there was a lot of this.
Jesse, I had such a bad day at work today, and I was so excited to listen to you. But unfortunately, it's James T. Harris again tonight. He's great, but he's just not the same as hearing your voice. You owe me some Frito Bandito, my friend. Be back soon. We miss you.
I do owe you some Frito Bandito, which I'll get to in a while, but I owe you an explanation. So just let me get this out, okay? You know, I told you before last week that my folks had come down to visit. If you listen a lot, you'll know that my parents, my mom, dad, Don, Lisa, they came down to visit us. And I'll tell you something. My folks never, it's just kind of a Kelly thing, never, ever, 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 ever would stay with us in our house. And they passed that down to me. I'm very much that way now. I'll stay with my wife's parents, but it's not a Kelly thing. You don't stay with other people. You don't wear out your welcome. You go get a hotel. You go get your own place. It's a Kelly thing. Not defending it. It's the way my family has been. It's the way my dad is. They would never stay even a night for the most part in our house. They came down 2 weeks ago, and for the only time ever in my 43 years on this planet, they stayed with us without explanation. My mom, my dad, they stayed. We have an extra room in the house. They stayed in our house. Last Saturday,
I don't know. You know what Saturday I'm talking about. It's not the one we just had. Just, my brain's a little bit fried right now. Stay with me. Last Saturday, my dad, me, and my boys, James and Luke, we went out fishing. We went out. It was just here in the bay down around Houston. We just went out fishing, didn't catch much, had a blast, a bunch of laughs, and then got back that day. The kids and their grandpa are just so close. He just dotes on them. And honestly, he softened so much as he got older. He dotes on them the way he never really did with me. He's just a great grandpa, right? We get back from that day. We had a great day. We had a great lunch. We had a great time. You know, my dad likes to eat. That's where I learned to eat. You know, that's where I learned my love of food. I got that from my old man. We got back that day, hung out with them that night, said goodnight to him that night. The next morning was Sunday. They got up before I got up. I had my alarm scheduled so I could say goodbye to them, but my dad is very much like me. It's where I got it. He wanted to get to the airport. No big deal. I'll say goodbye to Jesse later. I'll call him on the phone. So before my alarm could go off, he was up. My mom was up. Throw their stuff in the car. They head to the airport. They take off. This is Sunday. They fly home that night. Have a nice evening, he and my mother. They go to sleep. He dies that night in his sleep. My dad died. Woke up Monday morning. It was 5 a.m., and I had to get up pretty soon. James has cross-country practice super early every single morning, so I'm kind of slowly getting to be awake that time of day anyway, super early in the morning. I woke up that morning. I haven't even told you this, Chris, have I? I haven't even told you this, Corey. So I woke up that morning. It was 5 a.m. My phone is always set to do not disturb, but it'll ring if it's someone on my short list, short favorites list for just such an occasion as this. I kind of get jarred awake because my phone is vibrating and I see it's my mom. I'm trying to shake the cobwebs out. I reach over and I grab the phone and I'm looking at it that it's my mom. And as I'm trying to wake up, It ends. The call ends. So I missed it. But I'm thinking to myself, okay, probably a butt dial. Look, my folks, when you get older, this happens. I'm sure maybe you are this grandparent, or maybe you are this older person, or maybe you have one in your life. They butt dial. You know, they leave the phone open. My mom will butt dial you once a week. She just will. So I thought, okay, kind of odd, but my mom butt dialed me. As I'm looking at the phone, the missed call thing pops up, and then I see I have missed a text message from my mother from two hours earlier, and it just said, call me. Now, that is not a butt dial. I don't know what it was. I don't know why it was, because this is totally unexpected. No one knew this was coming, but I knew right then my dad was dead. I knew he was. I sprung out of bed, as you can imagine. Ran out of the room because my wife was still asleep. Called my mom. She answers the phone. Obviously, very, very sad. Dad has died. Where I was last week is exactly what you would expect. That morning, I immediately get on my phone. I'm trying to book a flight. I get a flight up to Bozeman, Montana, up where they live. My wife, because Aubrey's just a freaking angel, she's packing my bag for me. I'm running around the house trying to even put together all this that my dad is gone. My wife packs my bag for me. I take off. Aub and the boys flew up there. And for the last week, we have been up in Montana with family and friends and community. Obviously, funeral service for my father, which is, I don't know why you would want to do this, but you are welcome to view it. It's available online. You can go find it at the funeral home. What is it? Dockin Nelson, D-O-K-K-E-N. Dockin Nelson is the name of the funeral home. There's a link to his obituary, and there's a link, I believe, to the service. Yeah, that's right. There's a link to the service. I'm not asking you to do that. Please don't feel the need to watch a funeral, right? Especially for someone you didn't know. I did speak there on behalf of my father. It wasn't many of us who spoke, but I spoke there, talked about that. If that's something that interests you, you're welcome to. But that's where I was last week, and trying to make sure my mother is taken care of, trying to make sure, you know, just lost her husband of 47 years, trying to pick up the pieces as best we can and make sure my mom is going to be okay, squared away, all those things. That is where I was. We flew back last night. Do not be worried about me. I got your endless, endless emails and messages. And I have, honestly, just being honest with you, Chris had a stack of them for me. I can't believe how many there are. As I walked into the studio today and I sat down to try to read them before the show, and I just couldn't do it. I'm going to wait. I'm going to save them. It's not that I'm not going to read them. I have them all set aside when I'm off the air and I don't have to talk anymore and I get some time tonight. I'm going to go home and I'm going to read them, and thank you. A lot of people were telling me, don't come back to work yet. Don't come back to work yet. Shouldn't be here. Take some more time off. Because, look, I am hurting. But the truth is this. Here's just truth. I feel a responsibility to you. I do. I feel responsible to you. If I feel responsible for you. So that's part of the reason I'm here. And the other part of the reason I'm here is you're part of my family too. And that's it. I just wanted to be here and talk to you. So now we're going to move on. We're going to talk some politics. We can do all this. I'm going to be fine. Don't you worry about me. All right? All right. Enough of that. That's where I was. Now let's talk some politics, shall we? I need to get away from all this and talk some politics for a little bit. I love you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I will be bringing up the importance of community really briefly next, and then we'll talk about politics. So before we do any of that, community. If you were annoyed by the fact that's been a theme on this show, get ready to be extra annoyed, because that is going to be ramped up. Surrounding yourself with people who love you and care for you, and that includes companies as well. I really need to stress that. That includes where we spend our money. Our community. We come together. And I talk to you all the time about Pure Talk, don't I? I talk to you all the time about them, because I am so sickened by where these major corporations send our money and spend our money. I'm sickened by it. Pure Talk, they're the cell phone company that shares your values. They care about veterans. They care about family. And not only are they on the same 5G network, they'll save you a pile of money. Where you can, some places you can't, but where you can, spend your money with companies who share your values, okay? If you want to switch, I would recommend it. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, all right? It'll save you a bunch of money. Switch to Pure Talk. Now, let's talk about community and politics. Next. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. I am so happy to be back with you, my fam. I appreciate you so much. And we're going to dig into politics here in just a quick second. I did want to say one final thing about the whole father dying, death in the family week I had last week. You know how we talk a lot about community? I talk a lot about legal and local and taking back your community. Getting to know your neighbors, introverts, people like me. I'm speaking to me too. Getting to know your neighbors. Having a church community. I talk a lot about that. We've spoken about that a lot, in the importance of that. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to experience it. Part of the reason I talk about it is I've seen the experience of it. Last week was, as you can imagine, the worst week of my mother's life. It wasn't exactly a wonderful week for myself or my sister Mickey either, but the worst week of my mother's life. Husband of 47 years gone. Where do you even begin? And that's never going to change. It'll always be the worst week of her life. But for the last week, I have watched her community surround her and love her and build her up. Her church community. By the time I got there on Monday, there was an army of, she's in a Bible study with some ladies in her church and their husbands. They were all in her kitchen. By the time I walked in the door, they were there holding her up, comforting her, talking, laughing, crying. They were there. Her side of the family, which they're very, very close, they flew out like a freaking army. We single-handedly sustained the Bozeman Airport for the last week because her family, like an army, came flying into town. Some of them are still there as we speak, making sure she's cared for. Her neighbors around her, she has this army of people around her. And an army is probably not speaking, that's probably not speaking out of turn given the amount of guns and ammunition in that area. There is an army around her. They're already winterizing her home. They're staying with her to make sure she's loved and protected and surrounded by guns and ammunition and just people who love her. And they're having us over cooking. You see the importance of community when the chips are down and when death and misery and all this stuff strikes. And I know you maybe have gone through this in your life in one way or another as well. This is hopefully going to be the last thing I say about it for now. But the importance of community cannot possibly be overstated. Get to know your neighbors. I am guilty of this too. I don't want to. I want to stay home. It was a busy work week. I don't feel like doing this. Get to know your neighbors. Get involved in your church in a bigger way than just sitting in the back. Okay. And hey, you want to talk about pointing fingers here? This is me too. I'm not involved in any kind of a small group or anything like that at church. And I'll be frank, it's just you and me talking. A lot of that is because what I do now, I don't feel like I would ever be comfortable sharing something personal in some group of people because, you know, I would always worry that it's just, you know what, I'm sure I'm getting the point across. I'm going to change that. Neighbors, community, your town, your just build a community for yourself, not just for the future of someone's going to die. Look, we're going to start digging into politics now. The government in this country is really, really evil. We have problems that come that they may come from our own government. They may come from foreign governments, war, disease. I read something today. Now, you can't really trust anything out of our intelligence communities, but the intelligence communities are getting very, very concerned about a massive cyber attack on our election. Now, there's nothing you can do about that. Don't get yourself in a panic. What's going to come is what's going to come. But what I'm saying is just picture that. Picture what happens if electronic voting machines start shutting down or fritzing out on election day and they can't count vote totals. Just walk through that in your mind, the chaos, anger, and anarchy. No matter how that shook out in the end, President Doam or President Trump, no matter how that shook out in the end, half the country would be 100% sure their votes were just cheated. It would just think what might come from these things. And China sets off an EMP and cooks all the electronics. Who's going to surround you? Who are you going to surround? Build a community. I have to be better about this. You have to be better about this because for better or worse, those are going to be your people. And look, I just told you, died in the middle of the night out of nowhere. You never know when worse is coming to your doorstep. It comes for all of us, right? None of us escape it. It comes for all of us. All right. Now, finally, I give you my word. It's time for politics. McDonald's being out of touch. Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. So happy to be back here with you, talking to you. Missed you. Let's do some politics, shall we? We have Medal of Honor Monday coming up about a half hour from now. A huge theme on the show is going to be losing touch with the people, pulling away from reality. How does this happen? Okay, so obviously, I know you have heard by now, unless you have been living in a cave in the mountains of the Himalayas, you know about Donald Trump and his trip to McDonald's. Donald Trump, quote, working at McDonald's. Donald Trump doing a political stunt at McDonald's. Why would he do this? What happened here? Well, he did it, one, because he loves that kind of a thing. Two, he did it because Kamala Harris, of course, lied and claimed that she had worked there before, that she worked the fries. And because Trump's specialty is getting under people's skin and aggravating people, Trump decided he was going to show up, do a campaign stop at McDonald's, throw on an apron, and work there.
I'm going for a job right now at McDonald's. I really wanted to do this all my life, and now I'm going to do it because she didn't do it. Thank you very much. I'll see you at McDonald's.
And I'll be honest, I was flying back yesterday and I had been kind of out of touch with the news. It was just everything that was going on. And this was one of the first political things I had seen. And I, on the plane, I'm not going to brag about wealth, but I spent the $8 for the Wi-Fi on the plane. Oh yeah, Chris, don't, it's fine. Chris, I'm sure you can get, I will be reimbursed. It'll be fine. Chris is not doing well with that. But I spent the $8. I got the airplane Wi-Fi, and I decided I should probably catch up on politics. I pretty much made a scene on the plane laughing like an idiot at Trump, and just how good he is at that stuff. Besides Bill Clinton, actually, he may have topped Bill Clinton. He's just one of the greatest retail politicians I've ever seen in my life. He's so good at this
stuff. Mr. President, you actually have worked at McDonald's now versus...
Now I have worked at McDonald's. I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala.
Are you going to put this on your resume?
I never worked here.
Why would she lie about something like that?
Okay, so let's talk about something. This is not really going to be about that. You know that portion of it. It was funny. It was great. It was hilarious. We'll come back to Trump's portion of it. But why can't they do that? Why are they so bad at that? Why can't they pull it off? Well, we have had this discussion in a very different way before, but it's important to understand some things about how societies work, how the left thinks, why they fail at certain things. Have you ever heard a story about an ancient king, a monarch of some kind, who would go undercover amongst the people? There are many, many, many who have done it. If you want to look it up, I could give you a list of names. James V of Scotland. Honestly, Henry VIII is rumored to have done it, but we don't have confirmation of that. Nero, remember that history episode? Nero used to do it, but this is a tiny list. Monarch after monarch after monarch throughout history have dropped the robes, dropped the gold, dropped the bodyguards, dropped all these things, dressed up as commoners in disguise, left the castle, and went and walked amongst the people. Walked in their homes, walked in their markets, smelled what they smelled, things like that. Why would you do that? Because mankind has known for the longest time that physically experiencing something, even if it's in a tiny, tiny way, physically experiencing something cannot be duplicated. And this is something that people have a hard time understanding today because we are in the era of technology. We're in the area of area. We're in the era, but a quick note again, my brain is scrambled eggs right now. I'm gonna screw up more than I normally do. but we're in an era of Zoom phone calls and these types of things. And we think we have lied to ourselves and we've convinced ourselves that this is enough and that it is the same, but it is not the same. It can get you by. You can survive on it. It is not the same. Let's talk about construction, because actually we'll bring it back to Trump. Trump, as you know, is a rich guy and was a rich kid. His dad was rich, rich businessman, rich guy, rich kid. Why does Donald Trump, always in a full suit and tie, why does he walk into McDonald's and people love it and he's almost at home? Look, he doesn't work there. He's never worked at McDonald's. That's part of what makes it ridiculous. Right? But why is he at home? Why do the people love it? Why does he show up in North Carolina in a hurricane-ravaged place? People haven't been able to shower. They're starving, and they love it. Why does he walk into a fire department, and they love it? Why does he go talk to union workers? He just went to a barbershop in the friggin' Bronx, and they loved it. Why? Well, Donald Trump's father did to him what those ancient monarchs used to do. He made Donald Trump step out of the ivory tower, out of the penthouse. He used to make Donald Trump physically spend time on his construction projects at work. You go down there and you smell what they smell. You understand their hardships. You eat what they eat. You hear how they talk, their concerns. Why would you? How does this man grow up to be a billionaire, almost 80 years old, former president, and he can walk into McDonald's and hand out quarter pounders with cheese and not just look comfortable with it, look like he's enjoying himself, and the people are geeking out as well? How does that happen? He has physically walked among them and has learned not only what they go through, not only at least how to talk like they talk, even if he doesn't have those personal concerns in his life. It's not only that, but the reason you walk amongst the people as a king, the reason if you're Donald Trump, you walk in the firehouse and hand out pizzas, you walk into McDonald's and hand out Big Macs. The reason you do that is you learn to lose your disdain for the people. When you are socioeconomically above people, when you are socioeconomically in a different place, at a higher place than other people, the easiest thing in the world, because you are human and I am human and we all have egos, the easiest thing in the world is to eventually consider yourself to be legitimately more important, better than them, and to kind of resent them and have disdain for them. Unless you break bread with them, unless you sit in the barbershop, unless you sit in McDonald's, unless you sit in East Palestine, Ohio, unless you look and experience where they eat, where they live, you will eventually have disdain for them. And then what happens from there is death for a monarch, or death for leadership. We'll set monarchy aside because we don't have that. What happens there is death for leadership. What happens is not only do you not understand them, you will grow to despise them. It is human nature. And the despising them part is kind of where we're going to go to next. And we'll talk about why that happened, how that happened. I want to talk about something else real quick. Speaking of those who serve, first responders, firemen. I have a new partner and I'm just absolutely in love with them. It's called GovX, and I am sorry if you cannot participate, but GovX is for current and former military, current and former first responders. GovX is for the people who serve and have served. Now, what is GovX? Well, it's not the government. It is, I should probably apologize to you right now. I'm probably going to make you broke. It's the greatest freaking website I've ever seen in my entire life. If you are current, former military, current, former first responder, your membership is free. Don't worry. Just go sign up, free membership. And you have brands and gear like you've never seen in your life. You want some Ray-Ban sunglasses, some Oakleys? It's on GovX. You know, I was complaining about, I want a Yeti cooler. It's on GovX. You want to take the family on a cruise? GovX. Want to go to a theme parks? GovX. You want huge discounts on gear, on trips, on whatever you served? Go freaking get one at GovX.com. You use the promo code Jesse. You get $15 off your first purchase as well. GovX.com. You served. Let them serve you. You cannot imagine the cool, sick stuff they have on that website. GovX.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, Medal of Honor Monday, coming up 10 minutes from now. We are digging into how the communists got so out of touch, why they got out of touch, the danger that comes with that. Why are they so angry about Trump doing a political stunt at McDonald's? We're having a long talk about this right now. So before I get to the sound bites and explaining it and whatnot, we're just having a larger conversation, a wider conversation about that. Let me explain it to you this way. Have you ever in your life, have you ever complained about a waiter or a waitress screwing up your order? Look, it's me. I have. You know I have. Chris has, Corey has, everyone has. So that's understandable. People get mad. The restaurant screwed up their order. Now, you know who never, ever, 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 or I shouldn't say never, who rarely makes a huge scene about it? They may complain. They may even speak to the manager. They may get things fixed. But you know who doesn't really make a big scene about that? Somebody who has worked in a restaurant. Somebody who has worked as that waitress, as that waiter, on your feet all day long, taking orders, rude customers. These people don't tip. You didn't screw up the order. The chef didn't read the ticket right. They screwed up the order. Now the customer hates you. Now your tip. The people who have lived that life have so much more mercy for what the waiter and waitress go through. They have understood it. They have stood in those shoes. They understand what it is like. But if you have never lived that life, you've never tasted that life, then what is a restaurant for you? You walk in. Look, I'm a restaurant guy, right? I love restaurants. What's better than Red Lobster? You walk in. You sit down at Red Lobster. You order your amazing seafood, which is going to be incredible, as you know. And it's just like magic. It's almost like you're a king. This waitress, she'll bring me whatever I want. Hey, I want more water, extra Cheddar Bay biscuits. Hey, waitress, bring me some of those famous Red Lobster cheese sticks. Hey, do this, do that. Hey, waitress, I'm ready. And they'll wait on you hand and foot, and you just hand out orders, and eventually food comes to you. And because it's Red Lobster, it's the best food in the world. And if you have no frame of reference and you've never walked in those shoes and lived in that life, you will be meaner to them. You will be less understanding to them. Your mercy will be lower. So I'm going to read something to you. This is courtesy of The Rabbit Hole. I want to make sure they get credit for digging up the information. They didn't produce it, but it's where I found it. So I wanted to make sure they get credit. I'm going to read this. This is, a lot of this information was in my book, The Anti-Communist Manifesto, but these are the professors, the percentage of them in these fields that are Democrats. Communications, almost 100%. Anthropology, almost 100%. Religion, 98%. English, 97%. Sociology, 97%. Art, 97%. Music, theater. I'm not even going to read you the percentages now, but this is art, music, theater, classics, geoscience, environmental, language, biology, philosophy, history, psychology, poli-sci, computers. I could go mathematics. Commie after commie after commie after commie, through year after year after year of communist infiltration and infection, they have slowly but surely
taken over the ivory tower institutions, and they've slowly but surely taken over the gates, the choke points. And yes, if you are an evil communist trying to conquer and destroy a society, that's wonderful for you to a point. But what can happen from there is you never, ever, ever have to walk a mile in the right winger's shoes. You don't know what he goes through. You don't live his life. You end up with complete disdain for the people you've never been taught about and you've never lived. How could they? This has been a famous thing that's been going around for the last week. I do know enough to know that. Kamala Harris is at a rally. She's at a rally. And somebody is there. You'll hear the audio is not great. Somebody is there shouting, Christ is King, Jesus is Lord. I don't have the exact verbiage. I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's along those lines. Now, you are Kamala Harris. Let's just say, and this is probably the case because she's a communist. Let's say you hate Christians. You hate God. Nothing but disdain for religious people at all. Okay, I'll even give you that. I'm not going to argue with that. Okay, let's say that's your fine. That's your thing. You believe whatever you want to believe. You're totally free to do that. You also understand, or at least you should, that people who practice religion are a large, large portion of our society. A large portion. People believe in things above them. They do. So when you're running for president, if someone is shouting something like, Jesus is Lord, you know, or at least you should, that's a moment to be really understanding, or in the very least, you don't dog them, but it just came out of her. She can't help it. This is what she said.
And they did as he intended. Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally.
How could anybody be that stupid? Yeah, good point. Chris said 20% of the country alone is Catholic. 20% alone. How could you possibly be that stupid? How could you say something like that at a rally? And now it's all across the country. It's being talked about everywhere. How could you say it? You never went to church. Or forget about church. You have never, because of your ivory tower upbringing, you don't have to go to church. You've never been around Christians, practicing Catholics, Orthodox Jews, honestly, practicing Muslims, you have never, in your atheist ivory tower world, you have never spent any time amongst people who have these beliefs. In fact, in academia, these beliefs are always talked about as if, that's what the stupid rubes think. And so when you have an honest moment at a rally, it just comes out of you. You've never sat with them. You've never spoken with them. And the disdain for them just comes bubbling out of you, pulling yourself away. It's going to be a long talk. It'll be a fascinating talk. At least I think so. You know what else is fascinating? It's Tunnel to Towers. We're about to do Medal of Honor Monday next, where we honor a warrior like we do every single Monday. And look, we read about them. That's all. Tunnel to Towers is out there caring for them. You already know what they do for fallen first responder families and for Gold Star families. We talk about that. But what they do for catastrophically injured veterans, they build them smart homes. So that guy who came back from Afghanistan without legs, he can make dinner for his family because they have a specially adapted kitchen just for him and his injuries. Your $11 a month doesn't go down the toilet. It doesn't go to some CEO's private jet. It goes to take care of that veteran. I want you to know that's what you're doing. And that's what they ask. That's all they ask is $11 a month. Go to T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.